always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
Why is China buying up some agricultural interest on the east side of the metro here?
Very curious.
Because that's happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We know on the Missouri side of the listening area, there's a lot of debate and argument over what the law should be as far as the state allowing that sort of thing. But at some point, you've also got a federal concern as well. And I saw on Friday, some members of Congress, including Congressman Mike Boss from here in the area, saying, hey, there's a problem here. Wanting a federal investigation into this. It's not just the land. It's an actual asset in what you do with the food, which be as bad or worse. It is 8:06 right now. I'm Mike Ferguson. We've got Gabe here. We've got Stell here. Then, of course, you know, that's just part of the overall national security issue that we have. I mean, your food is kind of a national security issue, right? We're now joined by Congressman Mike Bost from the Illinois side. And I saw your press release. Good morning, Congressman.
Yep.
I saw your press release and I went, wait a minute. I didn't even know that was happening. Can you kind of give the foundation for what's happening? Look, we're talking about in Cahokia, basically.
Cahokia grain terminal, which was controlled and owned by Growmark, was fully acquired by a Chinese state-run company. Now, let me explain something to you that people will say, oh, yeah, but that's not the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party. Yeah, no. The idea of Communist Party is if it's from China, they control it.
Right.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
That's the problem. It has concerned me really, really bad. It also, just so you know, we basically wrote a letter to the, so understand that's not in my district anymore. It used to be. It's now Nikki Budinski's. And she and I went together to write to Secretary Yeltsin and ask her to start watching foreign interest. Remember at the beginning of this congressional year, you and I talked about the fact that we had the committee on China to find out, because they're buying up this asset, they're buying up land. They buy up land sometimes way too close to many of our military installations. But this is controlling the food chain. Okay? You express that. Now understand this, because it is the shipping of our commodities, wheat, corn, soybeans, all of these will go through a market like this. They're doing it not only on the East Coast and the West Coast, on our ocean shipping, but now our intermodal river transports. That is a concern. We must start paying attention to what's going on, and the administration has to start paying attention what's going on, and we actually have to put some sensible things in place. That doesn't mean we stop trade, but it does mean that when someone is, remember, our forefathers about 50 some years ago, unfortunately, along with the World Trade Organization, allowed China to join the World Trade Organization. The problem is the idea of the forefathers at that time, if they just see how great capitalism is, they'll become capitalists. No. They're imperialists. They're going to be imperialists. And they're playing for the long game. And now we've let them into the World Trade Organization, which makes it very difficult then to try to stop anything like this.
Morning, Mike. Gabe Pfeiffer here. So, gosh, I just lost my question.
Well, go ahead, it happens. Okay, so, but let me follow up on the other aspect. Like under U.S. Laws, state laws, Congressman, we've got the right to buy property in this country. You generally don't have to be a U.S. citizen to buy property. Why is it? I guess the question is: should there be any changes to that? And can we do that in a way that still respects property rights in the U.S.?
Yes, we can. And it is, you as a citizen have the right to buy and sell property. when you are a large corporation, you have the right to buy and sell with free nations. Russian interests don't normally are allowed to, you know, the list can go on and on of where we have control from certain nations buying certain things inside our borders. And also, and yes, you can still have the free trade. You can still allow people to make a profit. But I'm going to tell you, if you're an American citizen, why in the world would you sell? And I mean, greed, I understand that. Mm-hmm. But and I don't mean that bad towards, look, I'm a big supporter of Growmark and will be. They have been a great American company. And they're not probably happy with the letter that we put together. But people, we've got to control our interest. We Communist China is trying to buy our farmland. They're buying our corporations up and having control of that. That's a very dangerous situation. They are building islands in international waters. They have the largest navy now, by far, of any country in the world. The largest amount of military aircraft, more than any country in the world. Folks, we've got to keep an eye on them.
Actually, I do remember my question now. Well, Part of it was covered by Mike, and that the sort of libertarian argument of free enterprise. Is there a national interest or a defense interest case to be made for limiting foreign ownership of any particularly important infrastructure like food production and things like that? Because I know at least on a different note, we absolutely control international arms trades, right? So
that's correct.
Is this something that could fall into that sort of realm, you know, given the right set of legislative circumstances?
So there are certain rules written in our trade laws and our ability and what we allow our Commerce Commission to do. Matter of fact, the best example of that was whenever President Trump put in the 232 that actually put high tariffs on any steel coming from China. But it was done based on the fact that our international interest and national security was at danger because we didn't have enough companies producing our steel and cable that went into our transformers. So there are those areas in the law already that can be used by the administration once the secretary, in this case, Secretary of Treasury, or the Secretary of Commerce have the ability to see if there's a national interest in concern, and then they can stop this stuff.
Okay, so legislatively or regulatory, from a regulatory perspective, what should be the response, say, from Congress when you reconvene as the entire body?
Well, if the administration does not act, then we have to try to carry legislation to force them to act or make it law where it can't. Where you can't make these purchases. But to Gabe's statement of, you know, still wanting to be a free society, we've got to make sure that the law that we write, if we're going to write a law, right now, you leave it to the supposedly, and that's what you have to deal with when you have an administration, the trust that those people in the administration understand the laws that they already have to use them to not allow this to occur. And should have done it before. Now the sale's already done. So now I don't know what the process is going to be. But we can carry law. We have to be very, very careful that we're not hampering the opportunity for growth between free nations. And that's always a challenge. And that's why you got to sit down and really look at the language you're putting together. Also why you should probably read a bill before you pass it.
Hey, good morning. Mike Stalpontikas here. Got a question for you from a viewer on Rumble who's asking whether it's accurate that much of the bottom land on the Illinois side from St. Louis down to the area across from St. Genevieve is owned by Chinese interests.
I do not know that, but I can definitely check that out and find out. There's a map that shows where, especially from this committee that I'm not on, by the way, but I can check with that committee. I think there's a map out there that shows highlighted land around this nation. There was a lot of it purchased out west in a lot of the like I say, the real problem is that the amount of land they're buying up to and next to a lot of our military installations, Scott Air Force Base would be one. So those are concerns.
We're visiting with Congressman Mike Boston. I want to switch gears just a little bit. Obviously, since the debacle of the debate the other day, there's now a national conversation as to President Biden's literal cognitive ability to serve as the commander in chief and serve as the president of the United States. I know you can't speak for what the Democrats are going to do with the election right now, but what's the word and what's sort of the vibe in Congress right now, seeing on display what happened with President Biden freezing up? And I'm trying not to make jokes about it because he's still the president of the United States right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And let's say this. OK, first off, if you see anyone of that age that is in that type of situation, we don't make jokes because it's a very serious thing in life. But that's a point in life. Let me explain this, that my father, who we lost 3 years ago now, about 3 years before his death, he was just like that. Okay. And we would not let him run the family business, and we would not let him. He sat on the bank board, but he was, you know, he was a ex officio member because he'd been on the bank board so long. So if you can't run a bank and you can't do that. Now, here's the problem I see here. We just displayed that to the world. That's a very scary situation for us. We need to watch very, very closely. Now, understand this. The 25th Amendment, there's been talk of that. There's two ways that can implement, from what I understand. One is a supermajority of the cabinet members request it to be done. That's probably not going to happen. And for Congress moves to do that. Unfortunately, the political situation that we're in right now will probably not allow that to happen, because even if you tried to move it, it'd be a political argument, not a argument for the nation as a whole, even though it may need to be an argument for the nation as a whole. I might say that. But I tell you that who's been running the country? That's a concern I have. How are the decisions actually made? How long has this been going on? And it's a concern that many of us have had for a long time. And so it was very serious. And the most serious thing is that we allowed our enemies, as well as our allies, to see our situation as far as our commander-in-chief.
All right, Congressman Mike Bost, we've already tagged you on social media, as always. I really appreciate the update, because when I saw the press release and the letter that you had co-authored on that, I thought there's a lot of other things overwhelming this particular news story, but I want to make sure that we put this in the spotlight at least for a few minutes.
I'm glad you got that there, because remember, this is the importance of that special committee that we formed on China. This is not just happening right here in our own backyard. It's happening all over the United States.
All right, Congressman Bost, we'll talk to you again soon. 314-912-1019. Let's dump some news on you here in just a moment. Also, I'm telling you, the more I'm thinking about this, we had just kind of an off-the-cuff conversation a little bit ago.
Mm-hmm.
Who wants to go to the movies with us?
Yeah. I put the question out there on Twitter, by the way.
Yeah.
With a link to the website, and also the at Reagan movie on Twitter there. That's where they're tweeting out information about the whole thing.
Listen, I'm going to go see it one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all want to come with or not?
Right.
And I'm saying that on the radio. Hey, you all want to come with or
yeah.
not? Let's think about that. We're looking at late August for something like that. But all right. News dump, your thoughts all still ahead here around 8:21 on 101.9 News Talk STL.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
All right, that was a little awkward in St. Louis on Sunday, but a little bit funny. One ally protesting against another ally.
Let them fight.
It happens.
Let them fight.
And another crucial Supreme Court ruling is expected to be handed down any minute now that could at least partially define what the role of president is in this country. And hey, Cardinals on a roll. Did we write them off a little bit too early? Huh. By the way, Gretchen Whitmer, governor of Michigan, multiple reports are now saying that she is now saying Joe Biden cannot win this next election. That's a major blow to his campaign within the Democratic Party.
Oh, my gosh.
Neither major can she, blow. By the way.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. FYI.
If she thinks she's going to get into it.
Yeah, maybe.
Let's dump some news on you.
The Morning News Dump.
Are you joking? Is this a joke?
Listen, folks. The Morning News Dump.
All right, one extremist leftist activist group decides to mess up another leftist groups day.
So fun.
So what happened? What happened here on Sunday? If you haven't heard already, pro-Hamas protesters, they would call themselves pro-Palestinian protesters, disrupted St. Louis's annual Pride Parade on Sunday afternoon. And so we're talking a parade that had an estimated turnout of about 30,000 people.
Oh, wow.
So that was a big turnout.
Mm-hmm.
About two dozen terrorism sympathizers blocked the street, delayed the parade. I originally thought it was about half an hour. Looks like it was about 90 minutes. Hmm. I just want to point out I was not at the Pride.
Yeah, same.
Police Captain Christian Stamper was giving a briefing to the media and explained what happened.
We gave our dispersal orders, as most of you probably heard and did see, which we did three of. They still refused to move on, so we had to move in and make some arrests, and they did not make it easy.
And, of course, in addition to chanting, you know, the pro-Palestinian slogans of those who were arrested, and I read one report said 19 people were arrested. They say they were protesting Boeing's sponsorship of the event, and literally just a few minutes ago, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch puts out another link to the story, referring to them as anti-Boeing protesters, not anti-Israel.
No.
You know, and it was funny. One of the comments, some guy commented, he's like, oh, it's interesting. They misspelled the word Boeing. They wrote Palestine.
Yeah, seriously.
B-O-E-I-N-G.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh.
It's kind of wild, all the gymnastics that the media goes through to sort of protect their allies and try to, you know, instigate against their enemies. It's really amazing what a job they do. But we've seen that happen with, you know, how they protect Joe Biden, too.
Oh,
so, you know, it's all the same.
So the bottom line is these protesters are not anti-Boeing. They are anti-Semitic because they're anti-Israel. It's all about their hatred of Israel.
That's
what it is.
And this was coordinated with multiple instances of this kind of thing around the country.
All over the country.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the St. Louis Post-Dispatch is not an actual news and journalism organization.
Exactly.
They're just not.
Mm-mm.
All right. Speaking of Israel, Senator John Fetterman, I just don't know what to make of this guy anymore. He actually made a visit to Israel this past week where he met with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. And obviously, Fetterman has been outspoken in defense of Israel, which puts him at odds, I would say, of the majority of his party.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. He's been an extremely strong defender of Israel. And he's bucking the trend of, at the very least, the most tepid of Democrat operatives. Usually they give lip service to Israel while still trumpeting the idea of a Palestinian state and all these other things, ceasefire now and all that. But Fetterman is not having any of it.
No, he gets a lot of stuff wrong. But here's what he had to say on Fox News Sunday to recap his trip and explain what he thinks our policy should be.
I can't possibly support any kind of a deal unless for peace, as long as Hamas can't be in power on any of that. Hamas needs to be effectively neutralized before there's any kind of peace.
Okay, so he gets a lot of stuff wrong on other issues, but he's right about that.
Totally right about that. It's and very few, if any, Democrats I've ever heard actually made that suggestion that Hamas can't be part of the conversation. It's more so they're just like, well, we need to sit down with Hamas. That tends to be the comments coming out of Democrats.
And then on the farther fringe side, who are going to be with Fetterman on less, because remember, he's pretty far left.
Yes,
very far left.
Most issues.
They're saying, well, we demand a ceasefire. Okay, they are well aware that simply gives Hamas a chance to lick its wounds and reload.
Mm-hmm.
They know that.
Of course they do.
They're intellectually dishonest or just outright dishonest if they say, well, this is all about the civilians. They know this is about trying to stop Israel from finishing off a terrorist organization. They know it. And that's what they're still pushing for.
Yep.
All right. The U.S. Supreme Court is going to issue a ruling basically any time now. Could be between now and in the next several minutes. Any minute now, they're going to issue a ruling on the so-called Trump immunity case, which is going to have a very wide-reaching effect on the presidency, not just now, but for generations to come.
It's perhaps the most anticipated decision of the court term, whether former presidents are immune from prosecution for official acts they took in office. The High Court has previously ruled that former presidents can't be sued in civil cases for what they did in office, but it has never weighed in on criminal immunity. At stake is the criminal case against Donald Trump for his role in the January 6th U.S. Capitol riot. Greg Clugston, Washington.
And so either way, I don't know that this has a huge effect on this actual election cycle for a couple reasons. One, regardless of how the ruling goes, it'll be looked at as a win or a loss for Donald Trump for sure.
Right.
Even though this is a precedent setting ruling, which is why I think there's some interest in it. But I don't think either ruling makes Trump look particularly good. But then again, nobody's looking at Trump right now. All eyes are on Biden. I don't think it makes a difference. I don't think, I think the media is, they're going to want to make this a massive thing regardless of how the Supreme Court rules. But I don't know the voters care that much about this right now.
So long as Biden is the top of the ticket right now, so long as he's still the incumbent and running for president, anybody who's paying attention is really only going to be caring about what's happening with him in the campaign.
Right. And of course, that was a big part of the discussion over the Sunday talking head shows on Fox Report with John Scott. Senator Mike Rounds, Republican out of South Dakota, he says this isn't just an issue in the presidential race. This is probably going to affect races up and down the ballot.
If he's the guy at the top of the Democrat ticket, it's going to be really tough on a lot of those members of the Senate who either want to get reelected on the Democrat side or who are challenging to get elected into the Senate.
Yeah, I think he's right, which is why when the Democrats are scrambling, yes, they're looking for somebody who might be able to win in 2024, but probably what they're really doing is looking for somebody who's going to get that voter turnout back up. So even if they don't win, they're trying to minimize the risk to their U.S. Senate candidates, governor candidates, U.S. House candidates up and down the line. That's part of what they're trying to do to stop the bleeding right now.
Yeah, I mean, right now they're worried that a dissociated old man is going to cause a disinterested public.
Right.
And so there are a lot of Democrat voters who would stay home rather than vote. And that'll absolutely hurts the downside.
Or those independents who were, leftist independents, maybe don't identify with the Democratic Party, but they broke hard for the Democrats in 2022. Those are the ones they're worried about not showing up.
True.
Matter of fact, Senator Raphael Warnock, the Democrat out of Georgia, he was on Meet the Press and he's like, nope, I'm with Joe, he says.
I'm with Joe Biden and it's our assignment to make sure that he gets over the finish line come November, not for his sake, but for the country's sake.
Yeah, good luck with that assignment. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens.
That's a tough road to hoe right there.
Yeah. All right, another series win for the Cardinals. Sunday's pitcher's duel ended with the Redbirds, ended in the Redbirds' favor as they get the 2-0 victory at Busch Stadium. Today's a travel day for the team. They begin another series against a division rival on Tuesday. This time, it is against the Pirates in Pittsburgh. Cardinals are now in second place in the National League Central. They are 6.5 games behind the Brewers, and they've got a 3-game cushion between them and everybody else. And I also want to point out, there was a picture that kind of broke my heart over the weekend.
What was that?
You still quiet for me.
What happened?
I knew that was coming.
Yadier Molina, he's coaching his kids' travel baseball team.
Okay.
So he's wearing the uniform of his kids' travel baseball team.
Oh, no. What does it look like?
Do you know what the name of his kids' travel baseball team is?
Is it the Cubs?
It's the Cubs.
Oh,
and
no.
Somebody snapped a picture of Yadier Molina walking around in a Cubs uniform.
Man, okay, points for good dadness, but minus for wearing the...
That's how rumors start. Wow, I didn't know Yachty was doing stuff with the Cubs.
No, it's just his kids' team.
Stell's having more fun with this than...
than I should.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
And nothing gets me down. I just want to vent about something real quick here, guys.
Okay, sure.
Okay, if you haven't checked out or put News Talk STL in your regular sort of diet of websites or social media, go ahead and do that
on
the website. I always look at a variety of news sources every morning when I get in and every afternoon. Like after a week done with show day, I'll start prepping for tomorrow. I got to tell you how annoying most news websites are.
Oh, they are terrible.
Everything, like it's a pop-up or there's a video autoplay or you scroll down and a giant thing you know, jumps up. It's like, click here. I mean, it is playing whack-a-mole just to get to the information on the website. We do not do that at newstalkstl.com.
Oh, yeah.
And pretty much every other news website in town, you suck.
Yeah, absolutely. My gosh. And then the all the garbage links at the bottom of the page with the garbage news links. Oh, yeah. Terrible.
Okay, we have been bemoaning the administrative state by name for probably a good 6, 7, 8 months now with the Republican side of the presidential campaign. And you have to give credit where credit's due.
Mm-hmm.
Vivek Ramaswamy sort of named the problem.
Yes.
We knew there was a problem. We called it big government. Mm-hmm. We called it bureaucracy. We called it all sorts of things. And then he says the administrative state is out of control. And we went, that's administrative state. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. And a big part of the problem that we had was something that most people didn't know much about called the Chevron doctrine or the Chevron deference principle. And that goes back to, essentially a previous ruling and just the overall abrogation of their duties by Congress. So Congress would pass a law, it's somewhat vague, and then they would basically say, well, you know, the details and the rules, the EPA or the IRS or the whatever, you know, they're empowered to fill in the blanks and write the rules and regulate this.
Department of Education, they can write their own version of their enforcement policies on these things.
So there is a case called Loper Bright Enterprises versus Raimondo, Secretary of Commerce. And so this put the Chevron doctrine or the Chevron deference principle that on trial, basically, with the U.S. Supreme Court. And the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that they struck down the Chevron deference.
Right.
This is massive in such a good way.
Mm-hmm.
This is literally a big push back towards a constitutional republic, because here's what was happening before. For instance, one of the biggest violators of this would be like the EPA,
yes,
the SEC, any of those, to where if you were accused of wrongdoing, you may not even be accused of violating an actual written law, but you were accused of violating an EPA regulation or a Securities and Exchange Commission regulation or, like you said, an Education Department regulation. And if somebody goes, well, wait a minute, I'm not accused of violating a law, but you're accused of violating this regulation, you're put on trial by the, let's just say, the EPA in a... not really a court, in sort of a tribunal.
Yeah, I think that's what they call
it. That's run by the EPA.
Right.
And then the EPA is prosecuting you. They are the judge and jury. And then most of the time, they rule that you violated their regulations and then they impose the sentence.
Right.
Usually the fine or, you know, the threats to your livelihood.
Right.
And a lot of this came from a fishing operation. You know, rules regulating fishing operations in the Northeast, to where they created rules that said you have to pay for observers to come in to make sure that you're not violating our regulations. And if you don't do that, then you're violating our regulations. And so it's worked its way up the system. And so what the U.S. Supreme Court has ruled now, essentially, and it's very complicated, obviously, but they basically said, no, the regulations and the laws need to be written specifically by Congress.
Right.
That you can't have a bunch of unelected bureaucrats decide to write up a bunch of regulations and then give them the force of law and then give them the power to have a parallel judiciary and then have a parallel law enforcement ability to fine you or claim, you know, your revenue or whatever the case is. So this is saying, Congress, if you don't know enough about an industry, then you don't get to outsource your regulations to the activists.
Right. Now, and the thing is, this really affects you as an individual. Everybody listening here, I know it sounds a bit wonky. There's all these jargon that's being thrown around. But when we were complaining about the arbitrary nature of how various executive agencies are applying their rules. This is what we're talking about.
Right.
When we're saying the Energy Department shouldn't be able to regulate whether or not I get to have a gas stove, this is what we're talking about.
Right. Because there's no law that says you can't have one.
Right. But they make a rule. They say they say, hey, we're, as the Energy Department, we're empowered by this law to regulate energy use in the United States. And because the law is so vague, we get to make specific rules that technically, gigantic air quotes, fall under the purview of that law. Mm. And our rules have the force of law.
Right.
So, way back there was an EPA decision as well that was going to start regulating bodies of water, and it called basically anything of any size a body of water, and there were farmers who were like, they're going to start regulating my fishing pond.
Yeah, you're talking about the waters of the U.S.
The waters of the U.S. Yeah, exactly. So they could just make an arbitrary decision to start regulating every water puddle on your land, right? And all of a sudden they're trampling all over your rights. The fall of the Chevron doctrine eliminates that.
Right.
So all of these unelected bureaucrats, all the shadow government that has been operating in this country for way too long, that the shadow government that pre-exists the administration that you voted in and remains there after the administration you like goes away, those same people are always going to be there, and you never see their faces, but they can totally destroy your life with their a stroke of a pen as they interpret those rules.
And that's part of that's the point, is that you don't know their names or faces, but they can do it, which probably makes it easier and makes them more aggressive. Now, does this mean that the end of the big government era is here? No.
Not entirely.
But it does mean that when the big government rules are being written, they have to be voted on in public. Now, will they bury it in other things and try to make it hard?
Probably,
It's going to be more difficult for Congress to pass these laws, because they now have to be specific. Okay, we think that the federal government should have the authority to rule over your lagoon in your farmland. Well, then some congressman's going to have to go on record as voting yay or nay on something like that. Whereas right now they say, we want to regulate water supplies in this country. EPA, you figure it out.
Right.
You know, Department of Agriculture, you figure it out. You know, that sort of thing.
And all of a sudden you got a Fed with a clipboard on your land. Yep.
And we just outsource it to you and then wonder why the bureaucrats in the administrative state absolutely have run wild on businesses, on agriculture, on your firearms rights, on property rights. And we wonder why, because bureaucracies, like any organization, their first goal is to protect its existence and grow. And if you're a bureaucrat, that means you must have more power to keep growing, and you don't want to give it up. And the Supreme Court just took some of it away.
It's awesome. I'm so happy for that.
I
honestly am. I wonder what sort of impact you think this would have on our future, the desired COVID era, the new COVID era that they're wanting to bring in. Right. I think this would severely limit the capability of places like the health department from doing these things.
There's the health department, but there's also the FAA.
There were
no laws at the federal level that required you to wear a mask.
Right.
You know, it's amazing. I spent a lot of time.
Or get a jab to fly.
Yeah, right, exactly. or work at a federal agency or a contractor or whatever the case is. I spent a lot of time on airplanes over the weekend in my kind of whirlwind trip to New York City and back. And I got to tell you, it's amazing to me how many people are still walking around wearing these masks. And I saw a bunch of them in New York, and I'm just like, man, you people look stupid.
Mm-hmm.
You really do. But there were no laws. But people still said, Pete Buttigieg said, so I guess I have to do it. And then the court stepped in and said, no, there's no law. You don't have the right to do this. So this particular Supreme Court is taking apart big parts of the administrative state. Now, don't get me wrong. They're going to fight back.
Oh, yeah.
They are going to try to find other ways to hold on to their power over you without the accountability to you. So they're not going to give up without a fight, but this is a massive ruling in the right direction.
And speaking of massive rulings, there were two other ones on Friday. There was that city of Grants Pass, Oregon ruling that concerned homeless.
Yeah, that's
cities.
Interesting. That's really interesting. Yeah.
And it gave cities the option to dismantle homeless areas that were causing problems. We'll see if that has an effect in some of the major cities. And also that Fisher case, which concerned improper indictments regarding folks who were in the Capitol on January 6th. That one's going to have some implications over the next few months. We'll see if some of those cases are reviewed and dismissed, maybe.
Oh, yeah. I think a large swath of them are probably going to fall apart because those are the only felonies in those cases. Everything else is misdemeanor. So there are people in prison on the felony that was in question. And if that if the standard kind of wipes that out, they're going free.
Mm-hmm. And then today, anytime now, I mean, like literally anytime now, it could be within the next minute or two. It could be within the next 3 hours. We don't know. But we're going to get the ruling on Donald Trump's claim of criminal immunity because he was still the president of the United States at the time.
Do you think that usurps the news about Biden's decline and all the discussion about what the Democrats are going to do now?
I think legitimately it's a massive headline story, but I don't think it permanently displaces the Biden story for the time being because, you know, that's, we're going to go back to that. But the ruling on the immunity case right there, that's rightfully going to be the headlines for the next 12 hours, at least 24 hours probably.
I want to say the Biden story has more legs, but that would be inappropriate.
Yeah. The legs just shuffle around very unsteadily.
They
but
they don't move very well.
No, not very fast at all.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
All right, we threw out an idea a little bit ago. So here's
what happened. It was random.
Our boss just loves it when we kind of spontaneously on the air say, hey, let's do this thing.
Yeah, let's do a thing.
We should probably check with him first.
Every once in a while, maybe.
But okay, so here's what's happened. We were in one of our information segments, which a lot of other places call commercial breaks, but information segment sounds a lot better. And we were looking at this streaming thing, and there's a movie coming out about Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
It's a biopic, you know, the story of Ronald Reagan. Now, if it comes out of Hollywood, I'm skeptical
because
know they hate Reagan, which is odd because he was literally the president of the Screen Actors Guild.
Yes.
He's the only president who's been the president of a union.
He was the Hollywood president.
He was, The reason that these stars make all this money and royalties is because Ronald Reagan led the effort to get them, you know, in perpetuity royalties for their work. Because what used to be in the first golden age of Hollywood, you would get paid to shoot a movie.
Yeah, and that's it.
And that was it.
Yep.
You got your X number of thousands of dollars for that movie, and then the movie studio owned the movie, and they could do whatever they wanted with it for the rest of, well, until the copyright ran out, which is, what, 50 years or whatever the case is. And
you were on contract with the studio, too.
Right. So Ronald Reagan, being the president of the union, got them, you know, different royalties and everything. And, of course, Ronald Reagan was a Democrat at the time, became a Republican, as the rest is history. And so we look up there and we're thinking, there's a new movie coming out about Ronald Reagan. Oh, what's this going to be? Wait a minute. Dennis Quaid is playing Ronald Reagan.
Yeah. Look at that.
And then we start looking up and John Voight is in the movie. I don't know who he plays. And it looks like it's designed to actually tell Ronald Reagan's story.
Yeah. A you know, the standard portrayal in a biopic as opposed to the hit pieces that the new Hollywood elite like to do when they don't like the subject of the biopic.
Right.
You know, they generally try to put these people in bad lights. I think that there was a Reagan, was it a miniseries?
It was a miniseries.
A miniseries,
and it was a hit piece.
It was a hit, absolutely.
It was a shotgun hit piece on
HBO?
Reagan. I don't remember where it aired.
Yeah, it was something like that.
But here's the thing is, you've got two outspoken, fairly conservative. Well, Voight's very conservative.
Yes, quite so.
Dennis Quaid is conservative with the way he lives his life, but he's definitely not on the left. He's definitely on the right, but he's not an activist, but he's a conservative guy. So you've got conservative stars doing this movie. Gives me hope that they're at least going to be fair. Reagan was not perfect, but you know, he is a remarkable American story. And so we're thinking, we got to go. And I went, Gabe, check with Janet.
Yeah.
See when you guys are free. I'll grab Rachel. Let's meet up. Still, are you and Kathy in?
Oh, yeah.
And then we're thinking, well, why not just invite everybody?
Yeah. And that's the thing. We could have a really interesting discussion about the movie afterwards, right?
Yeah.
So that sounds actually like a fun event, and we basically invented a non-official station event, and then Jeff Jeff, what do you think?
Pool all our finances and buy a bag of popcorn.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
So here's what we're doing. The movie comes out on Friday, August 30th.
Right.
So we're looking at, you know, that weekend or maybe the early part of the next week, whatever. We don't know where the movie's playing. We're hopefully it's playing somewhere around here.
Yeah.
And what we're going to do is find the places that it's playing, and we're going to reach out to them and see if maybe one of the screenings or one of the showings can be a News Talk one.
Yeah.
And then let's all meet up together and watch the movie.
That would be so
and
cool.
Then maybe, you know, we'll get down there and just kind of have a hey, what'd you think discussion about it. It'd be kind of fun, I think. That so here's my question: if we do this, and I don't know if it's gonna be like a Friday night or a Saturday afternoon, I don't know when it, because we don't
and by
know.
The way, that's Labor Day weekend.
It is Labor Day weekend.
Oh, okay, nice.
So I don't know when it would be, but would you want to go to the movies with
us? Let us know. We need to gauge interest here so we can continue to sell this to our boss,
right?
It
literally could be something as simple as this theater at this time.
Yeah, we'll just do a meetup.
This is for News Talk. They're going to set it aside, and you can buy the tickets for that one. And they're you know, that's the News Talk one.
Right.
Maybe we try to, I don't know. We'll whatever it is, we threw it off the top of our head, and a few people said, hey, I'll go.
Mm-hmm.
So let me know, or let us know on social media or email. Would you want to go? Would your Republicans, you know, club or your group or whatever, ask around saying, hey, who wants to go see a movie about Reagan? The conservative guys on the radio are getting together, to go to a movie screening. And what I would love to do is, like, if one of the screenings could be, they're going to show the movie anyway, set it aside for us. We'll just tell them, hey, we'll buy the tickets.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, and you just, you know, you go to the movies, buy the ticket anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll all do it at that one, and then just have a great time and have a great conversation. And, you know, maybe we'll tell you where we're going to eat afterwards or whatever. And
it sounds really fun. It really does. And you know what? We need to make sure that young Republicans, maybe not necessarily the young Republicans, but certainly young Republicans come, because they don't remember Reagan. Right. You know, it's you know, I was relatively young during the Reagan years. I wasn't like politically involved necessarily as a youngster. It was 40 years ago.
Would you stop talking like that?
But I do remember the feeling of America under Reagan. Right. I remember how everybody responded when, now a message from our president. And that would have, it was very different than every president since, and that I've observed.
Without a doubt, I still maintain he's the best president of my lifetime.
Mm-hmm. And I believe so too.
That's not a knock on anybody else. I'm just saying I think he was the best president of my lifetime.
How big of an impact do you think he had on how cool the 80s turned out?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. What do you think? Who wants to go to the movies with us? If there's enough interest, let's do it. We'll figure it out. We'll do it. All right. Vic Porcelli coming your way here in about 6 minutes.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.